This lesson this morning, I guarantee you, you're going to remember. It's going to be very simple. Now, you won't remember the details, but you will remember the lesson, and hopefully you'll understand the message behind the lesson. Some of you are going to enjoy this. Some of you are going to chuckle about some of the things I'm going to say. Others will probably not understand why these people are chuckling and laughing. And so this lesson is directed towards you. But anyway, I want to talk about this. And knowing the Bible from cover to cover, we know how important that is. So let's look at this. The quest to find a preacher. Now, this is obviously hypothetical, but it's going to make a point. You're going to see. All right, once upon a time, there was a church without a pastor. All right, here I appropriate the use of the word pastor as it is used in the denominational churches, not as it is used in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the pastor applies only to the elders. The pastor is not the leader of the church. The preacher is not the leader of the church. It is the elders who are supposed to be the spiritual leaders. And so the denominational world uses the word pastor, and it shouldn't be that way. The preacher is what it's really about, the person who stands in the pulpit and preaches the lessons. All right, the board of the church had interviewed several prospective ministers, but so far none were to their liking. Some were too bold, some were too quiet, some were too harsh, some were too flashy, some they thought were just not pretty enough. I'm wearing pink this morning, okay? I have confidence wearing pink, so and I look good in pink anyway, right? Okay, well, that's debatable, I guess. But anyway, as we go. The last prospect stood before the board. We will call him Sam. We don't have any Sams in here, so that's why I pulled that name out. All right, one of the board members asked Sam if he knew his Bible. And Sam replied, "I sure do. I know my Bible from cover to cover, from generations to revolutions." And when someone asked him which part of the Bible he liked best, Sam answered, "The book of parables." All right, the board members exchanged glances, and one of them asked Sam which parable he liked best. Sam replied, "I like the parable of the Good Samaritan best." And the board asked Sam if he would tell the story of the Good Samaritan. And here's the way Sam told it. All right, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell among thieves, and thorns grew up and choked the man. He didn't have any money, and the Queen of Sheba came along and gave him 1,000 talents and 100 changes of raiment. He got in a chariot and rode furiously along, and as he rode, his hair got caught on the limb of a tree. And he hung there many days. And the ravens brought him food to eat and water to drink. And finally, Delilah came along and cut off his hair. And he fell on stony ground. And it rained 40 days and 40 nights. So he went and hid himself in a cave. And the dogs came and licked his sores. As he returned to Jerusalem, he saw an old hen trying to get her chickens under her wings, but some of them would not. He went a little farther and met a man who asked him to have supper with him. But he said, "I can't because I have married a wife." But he compelled him, so he ate supper with him, and they had locust and wild honey. As he was going down the street, he looked up and saw Jezebel in a window. And when she saw him, she laughed at him. When she laughed, he said, "Fling down Jezebel." And they flung her down. And he said, "Fling her down again, 70 times 7. And so they flung her down 70 times 7. And the fragments they picked up, 12 basketfuls. Now in the judgment, whose wife is she going to be? All right, that's the way Sam told it. Now the board members needed to make a decision. The board members smiled at one another and dismissed Sam. And the time had come to cast their votes for the best candidate for pastor of the church. They reflected on each individual they had interviewed, And when the votes were tallied, it was unanimous. Yeah. Sam was the new preacher. They all agreed that he would be an outstanding pastor for their church. Why? Because he met all their qualifications. And most important, he knew his Bible from cover to cover. All right, now why do we tell this story? Very simple, and I think you probably already know where I'm going with this. But anyway, this story has been around for years. It's come in different forms, different styles. Sometimes we see little stories about the Bible is told by children. And some of those can be very hilarious. And so this is where this story came from, just a compilation of a lot of these different things. Somebody who doesn't know the Bible, they want to tell you about their Bible story that they know. And it sometimes might come out about the same way. I actually heard somebody come up with a story very similar to this one time. And so he was doing that. But there are variations of this story, but you get the idea of what we're trying to say. What he did was mix Bible stories together. And every one of those things that I gave you is in the Bible. Some of you know that. Some of you have heard these stories. You didn't quite put them together, but you heard these stories before. And so, like I said, there's some of these stories they came from children. And they're cute stories, but yet not entirely accurate. You know how it is, you ask kids and they say these things and just, wow, oh, isn't that so cute? It may be cute for children, but it's not cute for adults. So, let's get in here. The sad part is that the committee knew so little of their Bibles. See, they didn't know their Bibles. And so, well, this guy knows. I mean, they probably knew as much as you do. I mean, they probably had heard these stories before. And, that's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. Oh, this guy knows his Bible. And now they rejoice because they have a preacher that knows the Bible from cover to cover. Now, if you think this story is outrageous, think again. This has actually happened in some places, or something very similar to it. Maybe not as wild as this, but people have asked their prospective preachers what their favorite story was, and he told them, all right. See, it continues to happen all the time. And there's a lot of people that people follow, a lot of preachers who don't know their Bibles. It's obvious because when they preach, they don't use the Bible. They use human reasoning, they use psychology, they use all sorts of things, but they don't quote from the Bible. I know I have sat through many sermons, and a lot of times with members of the Church of Christ, you hear a lot of Bible. Every now and then, you hear somebody, they never use the Bible. They just talk. They talk about their fishing stories. They talk about hunting stories. They talk about different things and different people. But when it comes to teaching the Bible, they kind of fall short there. And you know, there are some people like some of the teachers on TV. You know, the preachers, the ones that people send their money to so they can be blessed. They don't know their Bibles. Not a one of them can tell you what God's plan of salvation is, at least from what the Bible says. They have their own way, they have their own thoughts, they have man's thoughts, but they don't know God's ways. But here's the sad part. As long as the preacher knows their Bible, the members feel safe. They feel safe and secure. That they're going to be taught right. See, many people reject the Bible but feel that their preacher should know his or her Bible. You know, nowadays we have to deal with the hers. Their preacher has to know her Bible as well. And that's very important because the preacher is supposed to know this stuff, right? You know, we're going to go, we're going to sit down, listen to a sermon. The preacher should know what they're talking about, right? Well, of course they should. Now, whether we go live right, that's another matter for most people. But their preacher ought to know the scriptures. And many members are happier when they know their preacher knows their Bible. And that is one reason many of these groups call the preacher their pastor, because they have a misunderstanding. They don't understand it. They've heard it used all along, so they just go along with it. They haven't studied their Bible to find out that pastor is specifically associated with one group of people, and it's not the preachers. So he or she is the one to lead the flock, and he or she needs to know the instructions so that she can teach them. And definitely, when you're looking for a preacher, you want someone who knows their Bible, who knows their Bible well enough that they can explain it. And that's what the point of this lesson is about. And so, we ask the question this morning, what about you? Do you know your Bible? Obviously, some of you do, because you got a kick out of this story. And it was kind of hilarious, because it didn't take long to figure out what was going on. All this mixture of different stories. And so, some of you do know your Bible, but do you know it well enough? No matter how much Bible you know, we have to realize there's always room to learn more. Always. No matter how much you know. You may be able to quote the whole thing, but then getting down... See, there's a lot of people who can quote the Bible. There's a lot of people who have read the Bible over and over and over and over, and yet they still live like the world. And so it really hasn't made an impact on them. Just reading your Bible is not going to do it. You've got to sit down and study about it, and you've got to look at the relevance of God's Word for me. What does it apply to me? What is God telling me? Because God is speaking to me through His Word. And He wants me to do something. He wants me to be faithful. He wants me to be obedient. He wants me to treat others properly. Now, getting deeper, do you know what each book is about? Do you know that the book of Genesis, what's that about? Well, the simple title is, it's the book of beginnings. That was the beginning of it all. And it's how it really covers about the first 2,000 years of human history. And it covers it all, from the creation all the way to the time when the children of Israel were about to depart from Egypt and be released from Egypt. And that's that. The book of Exodus. Exodus means the departure. And that's what it's there. Leviticus is law. Numbers is, first of all, the first part of the book of Numbers is talking about the various families that left with Moses into the wilderness. And then there were some other stories go along with that. Deuteronomy is the preparation for these people as they were about to go into the promised land. And then Judges is about the judges. Joshua was about Joshua and his escapades and the conquering of the land. You can go through all the books of the Bible. You should know what they're about. Maybe you'll have a little difficulty when you get into the prophets. What are these about? The prophets had one job. Very simple. Tell people what God wants them to know. Encourage these people to turn from their sinful ways and live right before God. That's the prophets for you. Then we get into the gospel accounts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What were these about? These are about Jesus Christ, the most important character we can understand. And then the book of Acts to the apostles, what the apostles did and the beginning of the church. And then the letters that were written to these churches from Romans all the way through Jude. And then the final revelation of John. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's simple to know these things, but do you know what the book of Obadiah is about? Do you know it's talking about those who are the Edomites, the descendants of Esau, and how they had mistreated God's people, and they did it so much that God says, I'm going to cut you off completely. You're not going to exist anymore. You know what Nahum is about? Talking about Nineveh and the destruction of Nineveh and the Assyrian nation. That's what he's talking about. And Haggai, When the people came back from their Babylonian captivity, they came back and they just kind of got lazy. They started building their own house instead of the temple of God. And he was there to encourage the people to basically get busy, because God will withhold his blessings until we start serving him properly. The same message comes to us. God is going to withhold his blessings until we serve him properly. Do you know where the Old Testament ends and the New Testament begins? Well, some of you have a lot of help. You have a page, the New Testament. Okay, you have help there. Even then, some people have an idea that, well, the New Testament began on the day of Pentecost, and all the stuff that was in the gospel accounts, that was all Old Testament. There's only one reason people teach that, is to get out of what Jesus said for us to do and to ignore his teachings on different subjects. That's why we have problems with that. But the Old Testament, as it says, was old. It needed to be replaced because it was not perfect. But something perfect did come, and Paul talked about this. He says, when that which is perfect is come. And what we have that is perfect is the Word of God. It is complete for us. It provides everything we need to know. And it is inspired by God, and we must accept that. Now, what is your favorite story? All of us who read the Bible, we probably have a favorite story, or a story that really has impacted us, a story that might be something that we remember well enough that we can tell others about it without any problems. So we have favorite stories. What is your favorite verse? For some of us, that's kind of hard to say. There's a lot of verses that are favorites for me. And we understand that. And then there's a lot of verses that I use in my preaching quite a bit. And so those, in a way, are favorite verses. You probably think so. Man, I've heard him quote that verse 18 times, 20 times, 30 times. And so, yes, it's there. We have favorite verses. And we need to take these verses, and we need to meditate on these verses. We need to think about them all the day, all the time. As we approach God in prayer, think about what he has promised, what he has said. That's what the scriptures are for. And so we learn about our Bibles. The question is, do you study your Bible? Like I say, a lot of people read their Bible. That's no problem. You get on this schedule, and January 1st, you read 3 chapters. January 2nd, read 3 chapters. Just go on down and follow the routine. Follow the map that you have. And you read your Bible through in an entire year. And you can do that. But do you study it? There's a lot. Like I said, there's so many people I've known in the past, they're always reading their Bible. They bring it, and during the lunch break, they sit down there and read and read and read. Then they get back out in the workplace, and they're cussing just like everybody else. And they're behaving, misbehaving, and they're talking about their escapades out in the world. They don't study their Bible. They just read it. And a lot of people are like that. Do you know your Bible well enough to tell someone what it is about? Think about that for a minute. Do you know it well enough to share what God is talking about in the Bible? What is the Psalms about? I mean, what is the book of Ecclesiastes? What does Isaiah discuss? What does Jeremiah discuss? And what does the Apostle Paul tell Christians? Do you know it well enough? So here's the point. Okay, I know a little bit of the Bible. I recognize some of those, of the parts you said. I recognize what stories they go with. But could you tell the story of the Good Samaritan? Could you talk about that and describe what it is? How this man walking from Jerusalem down to Jericho fell among thieves. And all of a sudden, they left him for dead. And as he laid there, a Levite comes along and passes by on the other side. And in like manner, a priest came and passed on the other side. But a Samaritan came along and had compassion upon him and rushed upon him and poured oil into his wounds and lifted him up and took him to an inn and took care of him and nursed him. And then he took some money, gave it to the tavern keeper and said, "Here, take care of him. And if there's more that needs to be done when I return, I will give you these things." And Jesus said, "Who was this man's neighbor?" Can you tell that to somebody? You should be able to. All the stories, all the parables, we should know them well enough that we can share them with others. And by studying, we can understand what they're about. We should know these things. Do you know the Bible well enough to know if the preacher is preaching truth or error? Do you even check that out? You should be. Because let's face it, if you're going to put your soul's condition, your soul's eternal destination upon my shoulders, the preacher's shoulders, you better make sure they're teaching you the truth. There's a lot of fancy preachers out there who don't teach the truth, but yet people follow them. It's like the sheep. They just follow. And that's what sheep do. They follow. Doesn't matter whether it's the right way or wrong way. They just follow. They don't know what's going to happen. They really don't care. Their whole goal in life is to follow. Now, we are supposed to follow Christ, but we also have to know why. Why do we follow Christ? We should know that. Do you even know the plan of salvation well enough to teach someone? Can you talk about hearing the Word of God, believing the Word of God, repenting of your sins, confessing the name of Jesus, being baptized for the remission of your sins? Do you even know that? Do you know the verses that are associated with each one of those points? If you don't, you have a problem. And just sitting in church all the time without learning this stuff. You know, perhaps we just wait for the movie to come out. Remember that? Remember in school? Well, we got to read this book and give a book report. Everybody runs down to the store and rents the movie, and then they write their report. Anybody see the movie Noah? Oh yeah, that's going to be something. It's going to be about Noah and the Bible story. It's going to be depicted, and people are going to learn this stuff. It was fake. It was all false. Nothing in it was right. Yeah, there was a flood, but even that they got wrong. What about the Da Vinci Code? Some of you may not know what that's about. It's basically saying, well, Jesus, after he was resurrected from the grave, he continued to live. He married Mary. They had children. And then this Da Vinci Code is to protect those children, the lineage of Christ. And so we have the descendants of Jesus living on the earth today. That is just as wrong as can be. Jesus didn't have those children. But you know what? People look at this stuff, and I knew it. I knew the Bible was fake. I knew it couldn't be right. And so they go on their merry way, happy as can be, that the Bible is just a big mythology book. See, people are actually dumb enough to take what the movie producers give them as fact. We know that. They listen to the news. And they hear the news. And they think, oh yeah, it's got to be that way. You know, this week they start showing some pictures on Facebook about some military guys trying to grab this child out of the father's arms. Look what Trump is doing. That happened 20 years ago under Bill Clinton. Little boy was supposed to take him back to Cuba. But yet the news media prints this picture and they say these words, our Trump, blah, 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 so forth. And it's all, a lot of it is fake. When in reality, if we just read our Bibles, we'd see how wrong these movies are. And you know, there's a few of these Bible movies are pretty good. Some of them are excellent, in fact. But every one of them has human faults in them. Human ideas. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the laws of your God, I also will forget your children." I mean, there's some consequences when you don't learn your Bible. And God says that. His people didn't want to hear about God. That's what I said in Isaiah chapter 30. Don't tell us about the Holy One of Israel. We don't want to hear it. Don't prophesy to us. Don't preach to us. Just tell us things we want to hear. Tell us the smooth words, is what they said. And so people get these smooth words. They feel good about themselves. You know, a lot of those preachers on TV, they make you feel good about, oh, God loves you. You know, they do that. They put on that little accent. And, oh, God loves you. He just wants you to be happy no matter what you do. I mean, he does stuff like that. And people just eat that up. When another person say, God wants you to do exactly what he tells you to do. And if you don't do it, you're going to suffer the consequences. Oh, no, I don't like that. So people are going to get what they want. But people who reject the knowledge of God, God is going to reject them. In Hebrews 5:12, as we read from our scripture reading, "By this time you ought to be teachers. You have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." When I was a young man starting out my preaching career, I'd get out and so I'd use some scriptures in the sermons that I would use, and then here some member would come along, "Oh, I just wish I knew as much Bible as you do. They've been in the church for 50 years and I just started. And then I wish I knew as much as you do." Of course, my response has always been, then start reading. Start studying. That's what you need to do. And do that, because you just can't take that. But by this time, I don't know what the time frame is, but when we read this, the church had only been in existence about 35 years. And here the writer is telling practically every one of them, by this time you ought to be teachers. Now he got on their case, because they should have been teachers. They should have understood God's word. They should have understood what it was all about. But he says, you've got to be taught again the basics. That'd be like having the need to come up here and preach the plan of salvation all the time. There's nothing wrong with preaching the plan of salvation, and it's important. But we need to proceed beyond that. We have much more important things to worry about, like living a proper life. Just coming into a relationship with God through the gospel, obedience to the gospel, we still got a life to live. And this life has to have a purpose, and this life has to be shown to the world. We need to grow and mature. As Peter says, and this is a command, it's not a suggestion, this is a command. "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity." Amen. Yes. Are you growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior? That's what you're supposed to do. That's what Paul told the Colossians he wanted them to do. He prayed that they would have this. Notice, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. An apostle of God wants you to be filled with the knowledge of His will. And the idea of being filled is you put more in, it starts flowing out, right? You fill your coffee cup, you put more in, it's going to spill out, right? That's where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. What does God want? To the point that if we get any more, we got to let it out. Because other people need it. Now, this lesson might be humorous. And like I say, you'll probably remember it. You probably won't remember all the details, but you'll remember this lesson. It's an important lesson. And if you don't spend enough time studying your Bible, you've got problems. You may not be invited in to God's home. It is a really sad commentary upon people. People who should know better. Now, people of the world who never read the Bibles, we can understand why they won't know their Bibles. Very simple. They've got the world to keep them going. But as Christians, we should know that the knowledge of God is the greatest treasure known to mankind. It is. This is the most valuable, most precious thing we have ever been given, is the knowledge of God and what He has done for us. We should be able to share that knowledge with others. But yet so few seek such knowledge. Now the question for you, are you seeking that knowledge? Are you applying yourself to learning God's knowledge? If not, you've got to get busy. You have the rest of your life to get it right. And since we don't know when our life is going to end, we need to get busy. Consider these thoughts. We always offer the invitation. We talked about the plan of salvation, what God wants from us. He wants us to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ as we hear it and believe that He is the Son of God, to repent of our sins, to change our lives, stop the sin in our lives, to confess the name of Jesus constantly, that He is our Lord, He is our King, He is our Master, and I am willing to learn from Him. And then be baptized for the remission of our sins. Because as long as we have sin in our life, we cannot have a relationship with God. That's what baptism is for. It washes away sins. And then we become a child of God, we get into a relationship with God, and then we need to live faithful to God. Faithful according to what He has dictated we should be doing. So consider those things. If you're subject to the invitation, we're going to invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Come to Jesus, He will.